is your wake-up call. Wake the fuck up.
The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned that.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We in the mother...
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Friday, damn it.
Are you wearing fronts?
I got my grill in my mouth. You know why? Because I've been listening to 21 Savage for 48 hours straight. Okay?
When I listen to 20 this morning.
When I listen to 21 Savage, I forget I got children. All right.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
So yes, I got my grilling this morning, and I was listening. I came in listening to 21 Savage, No Heart this morning.
This is weird.
Yes, it is. I know.
But 21 Savage is actually in town this weekend.
I know, man, and I ain't gonna be here. I'm gonna be in South Carolina all weekend.
You wasn't
man.
Going to the club anyway.
I would have probably went to go see 21 Savage.
No,
it's not at a club though. It wasn't at a club.
You'll be at a club too this weekend.
Yeah, they told me he was at some building. It was like a venue. I forgot where his manager actually texted me.
Yeah, he's gonna be. He's actually doing a club and he's doing a performance. You wasn't going out there.
I wouldn't go to the club. I might go to the performance.
I don't even believe that.
And go hide up in the rafters like Sting. Remember Sting from WCW? Go hide in the rafters and. Watch 21 Savage spit that hot fire, okay?
Well, all right.
He wasn't going to 21 Savage.
I would have went,
that
bro.
Sounds good.
Okay? I wouldn't have went to the club, but I probably would have went to go see him perform wherever he was
no
at, all right?
No one believes you.
He said he was going.
Hey, no
went.
One believes you.
I sit back and read like Cat in the Hat. 21 Savage, the cat with the Mac. 21 Savage, not boys in the hood, but I pull up on you, shoot your ass in the back.
Oh, my goodness.
Where's my green juice?
All right.
You going back to healthy? You going to take the girls out, drink green juice?
Listen, I'm balanced. Okay, ratchetness and righteousness is the yin and the yang of life, sir. Okay,
well,
and I was reading my Joel Osteen this morning.
Yesterday, I was with the RZA.
Oh, drop one of Clues Bombs for the RZA. Wu-Tang Clan is my favorite group of all time.
How was the RZA? What you do with the RZA?
Well, I was at the Apple Store. You know they have an Apple Store in Brooklyn now. It's pretty brand. It's beautiful.
Where in Brooklyn?
It's in Williamsburg in Brooklyn.
I heard the apple's rotten in Brooklyn, though.
No, this is in Williamsburg. This is Williamsburg.
Oh, the one in Brownsville is rotten. All right.
Probably gotcha. That one.
It's an Apple Store right outside the Pink House Projects. Keep getting robbed.
That was right.
They still got iPhone 4s.
They wouldn't keep that one open.
He was launching this thing called Rolly Blocks. It's his latest product from Rolly, and it's called Blocks. So basically anybody can make music. It's not expensive. It's under $200, and you can make beats on it. It's like a little block, and you just touch
really?
It. Yeah.
That's dope.
Make beats and hook it up to the software and the app and everything. So you can make beats on the go. It's good like for an entryway if you want to be a producer
you want to
or
start.
How to produce music.
Right.
It's a good way for you to get started because it's not that expensive.
How much is it?
It's under $200.
Oh, that's dope.
It's
that's,
like $170.
That sounds like the next level of Fruity Loops or whatever the
But we were
kids
talking
was
about
using.
How, because you know I used to work for Wu-Tang. That was my first job. And back in the day, in order to make beats, you had to have the right equipment, and that equipment is so expensive.
It used to be expensive back then.
Yeah, they had like it's accessible to people. Because I was asking him, I was like, when you first bought your SP-1200, your ASR-10, everything you used to make beats, how much was it? He said you needed like $2,000.
More than that.
Just to buy that. And then you still had to buy the mics.
Right.
Everything else
the MPC was like $1,800. The SP-12 was like $1,200. The ASR-10 was about $800. These are all beat making materials that
y'all
they had.
Y'all
back
talking
in
about
the day.
Guns and lotion? Nah, SPF-50.
Now these are all beat making materials, and then
right,
you had to have keyboards, and those keyboards were expensive.
Yes,
everything was
mics.
Expensive back then. Cause you used to have to do a little at a time. Like I bought the beat machine, but then I couldn't play keys because I couldn't afford a keyboard. But
right.
all I could do was beat, so I had to sample all the time. And then you had to save up some money and then buy a keyboard, and then you didn't know how to record it. And Pro Tools was expensive back then. It was a lot, but
it's
good.
He used to have to rent equipment sometimes. How he was able to do it.
We didn't have credit to rent a credit.
Well,
back
what
then.
Is Metro Boomin using? Okay, because that's who we need to talk to right now. Because we want to know why Young Savage, why you trapping so hard.
Well, people right? use fruit
but it's good.
Why
everything.
These Negroes capping so hard?
I made
why
it
you got a
12
car garage?
Yesterday, I was trying to make a beat. It sounded like it was in like a scary horror movie or something. But
so it's
good.
Horrible.
Everybody can learn how to do it, so it's
okay.
Nice.
All right, well, let's get the show cracking. Front page. Oh, G Herbo. Will be joining us this morning.
Drop one of Clues Bombs to G Herbo.
Zone.
He's from Chicago.
Young G Herbo.
We'll talk to
him. They like
to
call the what they call them kids, Chirac Savages.
Mm-hmm.
G Herbo got good sense, though.
All right, well, we'll talk to him
got
today.
Good sense.
Talk to him, find out all about him.
I don't know if they like to
call
it Chirac anymore.
That's what academic calls them, Chirac savages.
Mm. Yeah. Now, front page news, what are we talking about? All right, we're going to be talking about Delta. They have middle class seats, so it's no more. Well, they have first class and, I guess, coach, but now they have middle class. We'll tell you all about that.
Middle class?
And then
Hillary's, crazy.
Hillary's odds dropped 13%. We'll tell you all about it. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, on Thursday Night Football, the Falcons beat the Bucks 43-28. Now, Kevin Durant dropped 39 on Westbrook last night. And the Thunder, well, they won 122-96. So, congratulations to KD. Now, let's talk about Hillary's odds now.
Well, they're saying that Hillary Clinton's odds have dropped 13%. The money is still on Hillary Clinton, but her odds are closing in. So, that's why it's important to go out and vote. They're saying that Donald Trump has been courting North Carolina, and it's really important for him to win North Carolina. They said that's the state that the presidential race will turn, depending on what happens there.
Listen, man, the soul of the country is at stake, and y'all playing. You're going to wake up next week on the 9th, Donald Trump going to be president, and America going to look like Hillside and Back to the Future 2 after Biff got a hold of that almanac now.
And the Ku Klux Klan and David Duke have been endorsing
They've endorsed Donald Trump. I saw Karen Civil post yesterday, and I looked it up, that Hillary has an initiative that's going to give $25 billion to HBCUs, and I retweeted that, and people was like, oh, she'll never do that, and they don't believe that she will do it, but that's, let me tell you how democracy works. She gets in that White House and don't keep promises, we can put her on blast daily for not keeping those promises, okay? Our voices are loud via social media, via platforms like this. We can make sure that certain things get done.
Well, let's talk about Delta and middle-class seats.
So now some U.S. airlines are trying to fill. There's a big difference between when you get a first-class seat and economy seat on a plane, especially when you're going long distances. And it costs so much more, like a couple $1,000s more sometimes. It's just too much of a gap. So now they're doing these premium economy seats, Delta Premium.
And they had that. They had that already.
They're saying now there's going to be 8 seats across each row, with 2 of the outermost seats, they're separated by aisles. And they're each going to have a in-flight entertainment screen, power ports, 38 inches of pitch, which is the difference, the distance between the same point on 2 seats. So that's about 6 to 7 inches of additional leg room. That's more than economy seating.
Is that the same thing as Delta Comfort?
I feel like it is kind of like Delta Comfort, but I guess this
ain't
is
no TVs
to be
on Delta Comfort, though, right?
Sometimes. Long-distance flights.
Those long-distance flights have the TVs. But right now, you also will get a beverage before departure. They didn't used to do that.
Oh, a beverage! Not a whole beverage, though!
They didn't used to do that. They only used to do that in first class.
First class, right.
And then you get an amenity kit, a premium blanket, and noise-canceling headphones. You get faster check-in and security lines, and you get to board earlier, and you get your baggage earlier.
I fly JetBlue, bro. I'm a proud Mosaic member. Drop one of Clues Bombs for JetBlue, damn it. No disrespect to Delta. Delta's cool, too, but I'm a JetBlue type of guy.
Yeah, I fly Delta.
JetBlue goes where I go. South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina,
and
LA.
JetBlue has those even more space seats also.
Yes, they do. And TVs. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, you know, now they got Mint and JetBlue, but it's never no pressure on JetBlue because they don't have classes and sections, okay? You even get your nice, even more leg room and keep it moving.
But what's Mint then? That's not like
Mint is on
class.
Like longer flights when you're going to the West Coast.
So that is a first class, basically.
Yeah, that is. That's a little pressure when you're on a Mint flight, but, you know, nothing too serious. I don't mind even more leg room.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad morning or a bad night last night. You want to vent a little bit, call us up right now. The number again is 800-585-1051. Phone lines are wide open. Call us
upset
now.
Maybe you're upset because these Negroes is capping so hard. All right?
Call us up right now.
They want to know why you got a 12-car garage.
Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. And you know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth, all right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Scott, man, from Queens.
Scott Queens, tell them why you mad.
I work in a hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
These homeless people in the hotel. I can't understand the mayor, man. How you got these people in the hotel? They don't sleep at night, in and out all night, and then in the daytime they sleep. You got some grown-ass cat up in the hotel, $200-something dollars a night. Right, they don't have to get out and do nothing. Make them get out and go pick up trash or something, man.
So basically, you calling up here complaining because homeless people actually got some shelter?
I mean, no, you really have to see it to understand what I'm talking about.
You want them to earn their keep is what you're saying.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. Take a trade or a program or something. You know?
I bet you one of them homeless ladies that staying in there fine as hell if you take her and clean her up.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, who's this?
Keyshawn.
Keyshawn, tell them why you mad.
Yo, man, my wife is pregnant, man. It's our second child. Man, I haven't had the box in almost like a month, man.
Oh, my goodness.
How many months?
You ready to make another baby?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is our second child, man. The first child, I'm talking, we almost do, man. Our delivery date is in December. The first baby, it was awesome, man. She was like every day towards the end. This time, I have to sleep in the other room, man. It's bad.
Why is
it's
it so bad? Why?
I don't know, man. I mean, they say every baby is different, man. But, like, our first baby was a girl, and then we having a boy. So maybe it has something to do with the hormones or something, man. But, Envy, oh, my God, man. I know you got, like, five kids, man. Have you ever experienced this before?
Nah, man. My wife is usually good. Usually when she's pregnant, is even better.
Yeah, that poom poom do be wetter when she's pregnant. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Now's the time to cheat.
Oh, don't you dare.
Now's the time.
Don't you dare.
It ain't really cheating when she's pregnant.
Nah, yeah. Don't you dare.
Oh, man. And listen, man, I'm 26, man. I've been married for almost 5 years, man. I never cheat on my wife. I'm just saying.
Now's the perfect time, man.
Don't you do it.
She'll understand a little bit more if she catch you.
Don't stress her out. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Matt from Ohio, man.
Man, why so many penises on the phone this morning? Where the ladies at?
Matt, good morning.
Man, I'm mad, y'all.
Why?
I'm 29-year-old black young millennial. I'm hearing that none of us are voting.
Well, that is a fact.
Well, not none, but only about half of y'all.
No, not even half. It's very, very low. I was talking to Simone Sanders the other day. She used to work at Bernie Sanders' campaign. She said that the young black youth vote is very, very, very low, like super low.
And you know what it all comes down to?
What?
Responsibility. You know, my mother is always telling me all the time, man, you guys' generation is so irresponsible. And I'm just like, no, we're not, no, we're not. But here we are proving them right. You know what I'm saying? First of all, we ain't voting. Second of all, we ain't wearing condoms. I'm married,
though. Oh, my goodness. Y'all ain't doing nothing right.
Now, listen, as far as the second one, that's just not a millennial problem, okay? All right? Because unprotected sex ain't the safest, but it feels the best. And, yo, I just feel like we all need to go out and vote, number one, because our ancestors died for our right to vote, and number two, I don't think y'all got any better ideas.
Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051 if you need to vent. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was RiRi with Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Chi-Town's own G Herbo will be joining us next hour.
Salute to G Herbo.
Previously, his name used to be Little Herb.
That's right. You saw him on the freshman cover of XXL magazine.
Yes. Yeah,
so. You know, by the way, G Herbo probably was top three most requested Breakfast Club interviews for at least the past 3 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, every time I go on YouTube, I'm always getting tweets like, yo, when y'all gonna have G Herbo on the show? When y'all gonna have G Herbo on the show? These kids love G Herbo.
Right. So we'll kick with him next hour. I mean, I went to a couple of shows that he did on the East Coast, one in Jersey, one in New York. And I'm going to say wall-to-wall kids, wall-to-wall people, sold out, line outside. So we'll get to chop it up with him. But we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, we'll talk about a new Michael Jackson movie on the way. Also, the Forbes list of highest paid women in music. Who do you think is number one on that list? We'll
Taylor
let you
Swift.
Know.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report. With Angela Yee. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, let's talk the top five highest paid women in music for 2016. Now, number five on the list is Beyonce.
What? Beyonce's only five?
I was surprised, too.
Wow. I thought Beyonce was going to be top two easily.
Well, but she made $54 million.
That's a lot of bread.
You know who number one.
But the reason is they said next year she'll finish a lot higher because of the Formation World Tour.
Okay.
So that hasn't been counted for this year yet.
Drop on the clues bombs for Beyonce. Norma Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter. That's my last name.
Number four on the list goes to RiRi, Rihanna.
Okay.
She made $75 million. That's because, of course, of her music and touring and endorsement deals with Dior, Puma, Samsung, and Stance.
Drop on the clues bombs for Rihanna. I can't believe y'all ain't got Rihanna pregnant. She made $75 million this year and you still wearing a condom with her?
Number three is Madonna. Madonna made $76.5 million. That's because of her Rebel Heart tour.
Madonna's still making that kind of money, huh?
Yeah, she is. Madonna's huge.
Tour's still selling out.
I'd get her pregnant if she could still get pregnant.
Number two on the list is Adele.
Go ahead. What you going to say about Adele?
Adele made $80.5 million.
Adele always looked pregnant.
$80.5 million. And she makes most of her money on album sales, actually.
Who's the next one?
Her
you
album,
know who number one
25
is.
25 was the best-selling album of 2015.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to act fake surprise like we don't know who number one is, like how she acts when she wins awards.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Go, ye.
Okay, and number one on the list... Dun, 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 dun,
who?
Rebecca Black.
Really? No, shut up.
No, I'm kidding.
No. You know who this is.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God, no. Yes. Really, Taylor?
Yes. Oh my God.
No.
I didn't see that coming.
No way, no. Taylor.
She made $170
million. Oh, my God. Wow. Who knew? Taylor? I never would have thought.
Nah.
So congratulations to her. She has... That 1989 tour, which made over $250 million. And also, she has deals with Keds, Diet Coke, and Apple.
Why you look bored?
I am bored. I like some of Taylor Swift's records. I can't.
I do, too.
Kanye made her, though. But...
Kanye did not make her. Shut up. You're not
All right. A new Michael Jackson movie is coming to Lifetime.
This is an African American horror.
We didn't see enough Michael Jackson movies, man.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Are the little boys going to get abused in this movie the way Michelle got abused in her movie?
Now, this movie actually focuses on his later years in life and is based on a book that was written by his former bodyguards. And the book is Remember the Time Protecting Michael Jackson in His Final Days.
I don't want to see
that. But the producer of the movie is Susan DePass, who is the former Motown chief who worked for Berry Gordy from the late 60s until the company was sold. She has a great relationship still with the Jackson family, and she was there when the Jackson 5 was discovered. So,
I'm not interested.
Maybe she'll be consulting with the family.
Enough's enough.
Sounds like trash. Complete
garbage.
But
it's going to talk about him and parenting his three young children, dealing with finances.
Garbage.
And being, you know, just looking at his kids and everything and
garbage,
all of that.
Garbage, garbage.
So, no, I don't want to see
just
that.
Just telling you it's coming to Lifetime.
Okay. Garbage.
All right. Now, why are these fans camping out? Well, it's in Brazil. Justin Bieber is coming to town and people are already lined up. And guess when Justin Bieber is coming?
Next week.
In five Christmas. Months.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Unbelievable.
I promise you,
no
if you
way.
Have Revolt, you can see some fans already have set up some tents.
Why can't they just
everything.
Buy tickets and then go to the concert?
I don't know. They're camped out
five months.
5 months?
They don't have
advance.
School? They don't have jobs?
Now, one fan said, we are here for our idol, and our love for him made us do this madness.
They don't have parents?
They're just doing that for attention. There's no way. It's impossible. They're not sitting there for 5 months.
So
stop
they're
it,
saying
bro.
One of the groups that are camping out in Rio, they're part of a 130-person effort, so they all plan on taking turns waiting in line.
Oh, they're taking
while
the turns?
Some of them go to school and some of them go to work.
Yeah, right. Stop it. It's for 5 months. They're just trying to get attention. They're hoping somebody from Justin Bieber's team reaches out and says, no, y'all don't have to camp out. Just... we'll bring you backstage. So come on, they're doing it for attention.
They can't get tickets? Like, you can't buy tickets and just go to the concert or show?
Listen, they're trying to be first on that line. I don't know how this works.
First of all, one of them kids that was camping out there is so fat.
They don't have internet, Ticketmaster.
He was kind of large.
He was super
large.
He's
right there. He's obese.
Look at that fat boy right there. There's no way he's sitting there for 5 months without going to Burger King. It's impossible. He's going to do...
they're taking turns.
No.
All right, and that is your rumor report.
Nobody
I'm
believes
Angela
that.
Yee. All right, now when we come back, G Herbo, Chi-Town's own, will be joining us.
Yes, and apologies to our affiliates, Jammin' 94.5 Boston. They tweeted out a picture and said G Herbo on the Breakfast Club AM next, and they put out a picture of Mr. Flawless.
Did they?
I don't know how you confuse G Herbo with Mr. Flawless. It's okay, though, guys. We'll get it right.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's Beyonce with Sorry. It's Friday! It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Riri Drake, Too Good. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Got a special guest in the building.
This dude has actually probably been one of the most requested guests for about 2 years.
G Herbo.
Yo,
hey,
sir. What's good, bro?
And congratulations on
y'all
win, man.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I really appreciate
what
it,
you
man.
You got on a White Sox hat.
I ain't gonna lie, y'all on a White Sox hat because it wasn't early enough to go get a Cubs hat. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't go get a Cubs hat, man. That's what I'm telling you, like, literally.
But I thought in Chicago you got to pick sides. Like, you got to either be a White Sox or a Cubs fan.
Officially, like, I'm a diehard White Sox fan. Mm-hmm. But I still got to support the Cubs because it's Chicago. And I've never been to a baseball game in my life. Sure. Like, my first baseball game was a Cubs game. And it was
it
the
exciting?
World Series. Yeah, it was exciting. I had a good time. So I got to, you know what I'm saying? I got to rock with the Cubs. Like, from that point on, I'm going to be a Cubs fan and a White Sox fan. I ain't even going to choose.
Now, what part of Chicago are you from? What side?
I'm from the east side of Chicago, 79th Street.
Now, you didn't know Herb was a bad term in New York.
Nah.
That means sucker.
I just learned that.
Oh, when I
just got out here, I just learned that.
That was the early 90s. Don't even worry about that. Don't
right.
mean nothing.
I was born in 95, exactly. So I don't even know. Like,
how did that even become a bad term?
I don't know. But when he was a Herb, he was a sucker. That's why when I first heard Little Herb, I'm like, why would he call himself that? But his name
because
is
because he was born in 95. He's not old like us.
Right, like I ain't know. Right? I don't even know if my dad, when I go home, I'm going to ask my dad, like, the niggas used to play with your name. Like, I'm going to ask him because that's his name too, you know, so I don't know.
Okay, he's a junior.
From I'm Chicago? The third. My grandfather named Herbert, too.
He pops from Chicago, too?
Yeah, right? My pops from Chicago,
nah,
too.
He probably killed people, so they ain't play with his
name. Nah, I don't know. Like, yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Pops was never nothing to play with anyway, so I don't know. I ain't never heard it. He would have told me, like, I ain't never heard that till I came out here, bro. That's crazy.
Why is Chicago so violent, man? Because y'all just had, like, the worst weekend of the year, but it's already been 600 murders this year. Like, why is it so violent?
It's misguidance, you know, like everybody all over the place, like literally even the street dudes. It was once upon a time where street dudes had morals and certain principles and think and move a certain way. Like they don't have that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like the shorties don't have morals in life. Like when I was growing up, we had community centers to go to, you know what I'm saying? Youth centers, AAU programs. We had something to occupy our time. The kids don't have that no more. And they just all over the place like cowboys. And everybody know if you're a real street dude, that's not the way to be. Like, every street dude think and use their head in order to maneuver and survive the streets. You have to be a thinker. Nobody in Chicago using their brain right now. So that's why it's so crazy.
Now, the artists get along? Like, do literally. You all get along? Whether, I know you grew up with Bibby, but Sosa or Durr, y'all all get along?
Yeah, like, it never been no bad blood between any of us in the city. Like, me and Bibby, like you said, we grew up together, like, all our life. Like, that's my brother, you feel me? But even with Sosa, Dirk, like, we still got mutual people. We not from the same area, but we got mutual people we care about. Like, we keep it cordial. Even when I see him, that's my brother. We work together, all types. Like, even with Keith, you know, with Sosa, like, he ain't been to the crib in years, but it ain't no bad blood. Like, if he came home and capitalized off being in the city, everybody gonna show him love.
Now, you can go back to the city. You can perform in the city, because I know sometimes they don't want those artists back in the city because
of
the violence.
Like, Keith can't perform.
Yeah, like, Keith, I heard Dirk even.
They blackball him, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you get to a certain point, it's just a dark cloud that follow you in Chicago, you know? Like, when they label you, it's hard to get that label off, and I'm just blessed that I never let anybody label me like, nah, that's her. Mm-hmm. Keep him away. It was never that with me, you know what I'm saying? So I can't really speak on nobody else's situation. I don't know why it's like that. I'm just blessed. It never happened to me. Like, I can still perform at the crib, or I don't have a certain label where they're like, nah, just keep him away from you. You feel me? Like,
but did you move out the crib? Did you move away from Chicago? Or
where it's going down at, you know, like the inner city, you feel me? But I'm still in Chicago.
Everybody says you got to leave Chicago in order to be successful if you're from Chicago.
I agree. I don't even say you have to leave, because I still want to be in my city, and I want to capitalize off of it. I want to own my city, like, go and do stuff for my community, you know what I'm saying, for the youth, non-for-profit, work with certain land, you know what I'm saying, merge with landscaping companies to, you know what I'm saying, buy and own my neighborhood to create other opportunities. But I still feel like what you were saying is right, because you just have to learn and move a certain way. Even if you're a street dude, you can't have the same street mentality, and you can't spend the same time, the same amount of time you spent in the streets if you're trying to do something else with your life. Like,
it's important. I like what you said about how the kids aren't thinking, because I'm like, well, what do they want then? Because back in the day when stuff used to go down in our generation, it was for money.
Right.
Like, literally, it was always about some bread.
But I understand what you're saying about there not being enough things for people to do, like, as far as activities and places to go and anything to keep you off the street.
Right.
So what do the kids want on the street? If they ain't getting money, why are they just killing each other?
Want a name. Their morals are all, it's backwards, bro. Like, no, you're absolutely right. It was for money, you know what I'm saying? Even when I'm only 21, bro. When I was in the streets, it was about territory, money, and progressing. And, you know what I'm saying? Doing stuff for your family, still having morals at the end of the day. You know, like, with the kids, they don't even know how to hustle. They don't know how to do nothing, you know what I'm saying? They don't even, I feel like in order to make a difference in the city, they need somebody that they feel like genuinely care about them, you know what I'm saying, for stuff that provides stuff for them to do. Like, literally, we were still the roughest kids in the neighborhood, the toughest, roughest kids in the neighborhood. You can't even play with. You say the wrong thing, that not one of us might knock you out, but we still go to summer camp with our youth center, and we still go to Six Flags whenever we had the chance growing up. Kids don't have that no more, you know, and a lot of times they don't even want to choose the path that they're going down. They being followers, you know, like mm-hmm. when I went down that path, that was the path I wanted for myself. Mm-hmm. I understood everything that came with that path. Kids don't really understand that. It's only two things that come with
jail
the streets.
Or death.
Jail or death. And you got to understand that I was ready for jail or death at any moment, even being a shorty.
When did you say, okay, let me get out of the street and really focus on my career in music?
I would say for like the past year and a half, 2 years, I just been super focused. And I had to, nobody drilled it in my head. I had to make that step, that decision on my own.
Your gun's you still warm.
Yeah, like.
You said even when you had the song, even when you had the song with Nicki, you was still outside
like,
the street.
When I had the song with Nicki, I was still outside on the block every day, you feel me? Like, it wasn't even, I didn't really realize the step that I needed to take. It was me, you know what I'm saying? I had to take that extra step. I didn't realize that you can't be 50-50. You can't be 80-20. You have to be 100%.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I had to understand, I had to go through certain loopholes in life and really, you know what I'm saying, learning experience, learning curves.
Now, she talked about the song with Nicki. Now, when they reached out to you, you guys actually hung up on him a couple of times.
Nah, literally, like, I promise, I ain't even know. Like, it was Safari calling, you feel me? And my manager at the time.
I don't blame you for hanging up on
Safari. Like, it was like 3 a.m. We was in the studio. And I don't know, like, what the exact words was, but basically,
he was
like,
speaking in Nicki,
man, I don't know what he was speaking in. Like,
I don't
know. Like, he probably was. I ain't even gonna lie. Like, but literally, we like, man, hell no, this ain't Nicki calling us at 3 a.m. We in the studio, somebody they trying to get up with me, you feel me? Like, hell no. My manager hung up at the time.
Bang.
Like, it just came back around probably 2 days later, 3 days later, like, what you doing, shorty? Like, you literally, like, you the president, you that hard to get up with, and we realized it was her.
She could have DM'd you or something.
It was a Monday. She had me in L.A. like that Thursday or Friday. Like, seriously, she wasn't even playing around. Like, we ain't finna play with you. Like, she probably looking like, man, this little boy gonna get lost in the sauce somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Nicki throws a lot of alley-oops she don't get credit for.
Yeah. Like, I get credit whenever credit due, like, for cosigns, anything. Like, I try to be as humble as possible. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, ain't no egos in music.
All right, we got more with G Herbo when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Old Boy Cameron. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have G Herbo in the building from Chi-Town.
When young men know the consequences of the street, why they glorified in the music then?
Because they don't understand. Like, literally, people glorified through the music because they don't understand it, bro. Like, literally, they haven't been through the situations where they lost 5 homies or 5 people that was close to them that they shook their hand and laughed with and smoked with and joked with every day, all within a 2-month radius. Mm. You know, like, 4 people, 4 deaths close to you. You never had nobody waiting outside your mother, your grandmother crib trying to kill you.
Mm. You and kill your mama and grandma.
And kill your mother and grandma if needed be. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, I feel like a lot of people, they don't even know what they signed up for. Like, you have to be willing to die or go to jail for 100 years if that's the lane that you're stepping in. You have to understand that whether you 15, 16, you got to think like a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people don't think like that. They want the glory of it. Say, oh, yeah, I'm fresh every day. I got my gun on me. But that's not cool. Like, every day I had to have my gun on me, I ain't want it. I ain't want to have it on me. You feel me? Like, literally, you know what I'm saying? And you just got to understand what come with it. A lot of people don't understand that. That's why they glorify. No street dude ever glorifies what they've done, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of bad shit that come with it. I cried a lot of nights being in the streets. Mm-hmm. Not only because of deaths, just me not, like, what's going on? My mother crying. If I see my mother cry, that's going to make me cry. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You feel me? Like, that's what come with being in the streets. And a lot of people don't understand it. And I feel like if you could be anything in life, why choose the streets? A lot of people who are in the streets, that's all they got. Word they don't up. Have nothing else to choose from but the streets. A lot of people have everything else to choose from and choose the streets. And those people that end up with the short end of the stick, they end up dead for no reason, in jail for the rest of their life and not understanding. Those are the people that snitch. When you in the streets, you got to be willing to go do 20, 30, 40 years for your brother. Even though you know he did wrong, you ain't had nothing to do with it. You got to be willing to make that sacrifice in the streets. And if you're not willing to make that sacrifice, don't have nothing to do with it, because that's what come with it.
Now, are you voting?
Honestly, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not voting. If we don't take that extra step to uplift everybody, you know what I'm saying, as a whole in the community and really get the youth and the misguided on the same accord to really show the world that we could come as one and we not animals, it's nothing that Trump or Hillary could do for us because Obama would have did it already. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's only so much that they could do. They not in the midst of it. They don't understand where we come from. Obama is from Chicago. He don't understand me as a kid or as a street dude. He don't understand me. Hillary don't understand me. Don't understand any of us or nothing that's going on. So I feel like if people like me or any leaders in the community, any voice, don't take that extra step to uplift everybody, you know what I'm saying, and show the kids somebody actually care about you, it's something for you to do with your time. Because I know you want something else to do with your time. You just don't know how to articulate it or really say, I want something else to do with my time because you following this guy and that guy. You know what I'm saying? Really just, if it's not stuff like that going on, it's nothing Hillary could do for us, nothing Trump could do for us. So that's why I feel like I'm not voting, because even if I vote, if everybody vote right now and Hillary Clinton win, Trump out the way, he out of the way. Mm-hmm. If we don't think a certain way with certain morals and principles and values of life and self-respect as a whole, as a people, it's nothing nobody could do for us. A president, a senator, a governor, a
You don't
judge.
Even think on a local level? Because like all those schools and stuff you talk about that aren't there no more, like the rec centers and stuff.
Right.
Those are the guys that fund those things. So,
yeah.
So on a local level, it's important to vote?
On a local level, yeah, it's important to vote. But I'm talking about presidency.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like that's relevant. On a local level, it's definitely important to vote for politicians and certain judges. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely important. I believe in that. But as far as the outside world, because if you're a Republican or a Democrat, being the president, you have to abide by certain laws and make certain decisions for your life. And even if it affects the poverty, you know what I'm saying, the poor, the people living in poverty more than anything, they going to make that decision. They not going to think twice about us.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to think twice about us because they not. So it don't matter if we vote for whoever, if we not trying to uplift each other as a whole, is nothing nobody could do with us. And you absolutely right. Like, as far as politicians, judges, that kind of thing, that kind of stuff
school
on a local level. Yeah, school superintendents. Yeah, that's important. But I feel like even if we do that, if the people mindset is not right the way it need to be, that's not even going to help us. Like, nobody's not going to listen to the next politician or the next police officer or anything. Like, it has to be someone in the midst of it. It has to be someone from the struggle. I feel like everybody just got to come on the same page. Everybody got to think positive. You know, I hear a lot to frown and a lot to cry about. So I try to think positive as much as possible. I try to smile as much as possible. And I try to motivate people.
You talk about that in your music?
Yeah. Of course. Like, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I love when I go through my comments on Instagram and people say, Herb, you changed my life when you dropped this song. Like, I was going through some deep shit. Like, my brother died or my grandmother died, and I listened to your music, and it got me through it, literally, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love seeing that. So that's why when I go back on the road and when I go on my next tour, I'm going to start just doing 30-minute moderations to get intimate with my fans.
I thought that was dope when you said that.
You know what I'm saying? I really want to start doing that, you know what I'm saying?
Give them some shows.
Hell yeah, and doing non-for-profit shit. Really, like, I'm going to be the one that go say, oh, man, this community center was closed. We used to hang out when we was kids. Open this back up. The kids need that. Like, 12, 13-year-olds, they don't have nothing to do with their time. They smoking cigarettes. It's not beneficial to them or their family. Like, still, with me being in the streets, risking my life every day, I still thought about my mama and my little sister and my grandma. You know what I'm saying? Like, kids don't. Your mother been taking care of you, loving you all your life, had everything in your life planned out for you, but you want to disrespect her because you think it's cool.
Right.
Because you think it's cool.
Yeah.
I talk to my fans. I'm a humble dude. Like, I get my fans my number and let them FaceTime me. You feel me? Like, literally, oh, man, gang. And they got straight A's. He played basketball. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm telling them, like, bro, I ain't going to answer my phone for you. I ain't f***ing with you if you don't listen to your mama and you don't got straight A's. And I literally talk to his mama. His mama said, he been listening. He been on top of his shit. You feel me? Like, I ain't f***ing with you. That's not cool, bro. You not me. You don't need to live the life that I live. You go to school. You got everything in your life happening on a positive level. All right. So you don't need to be nowhere near negativity. Like, you don't even need to worry about who fucking with you in high school, who you cool with. Like, that's irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? I learned that as a kid. My dad always used to tell me, like, never pay attention to what the next man say, or don't care about who your friend, just be a leader. He told me that early on, and I ain't really understand it as much as I do now. Like, I didn't understand when he said, man, a lot of people that you know and meet in high school and grammar school, you never gonna see again in your life. I used to get upset when he said that, because there was some of my closest friends in grammar school.
It's the truth, though.
But it's the truth. Like, literally, it's so many people that I was cool with and don't remember. I don't even see him anymore, and it's not really me changing or nothing like that. Before I even had a name for myself, it was just, you know, you grow.
That's
you grow up.
You 21 and you talking like that, and I feel like that's what kids need to hear, because I saw Lil Wayne in that video that he pull out his rag. I'm a gangbanger. I'm committed to this. I'm like, bro, you been rapping for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, why even put that out there? So I like to hear young men like you talk like that, because you're the guy that kids are really listening to.
Yeah, exactly. And I am what I am. Everybody know I am what I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to parade that. You feel me? Like, I never, ever, ever say I want to go back and change this about my life, or I want to go back and not make this decision. You feel me? Because everything that ever happened in my life made me the man I am today. You know what I'm saying? And I don't care who judge me and say, oh, Herb ass soft, he a punk now. I don't care. My mama good. My little sister good. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to worry about the same shit I had to worry about. I can move a certain type of way now because my crib downtown and my mama crib in the suburbs. I don't got to look behind my back going in the house no more. I remember walking in the house with my gun in my hand out, walking in through my mama hallway, all the lights off. I live with my grandmother, but she live in the enemy's neighborhood. Mm. People trying to kill me on the same block that my grandmother live on. This is my house. I have to go here every night. So I remember coming from that. You know what I'm saying? Who wants to live like that?
All right, we got more with G Herbo when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Hold Up, Beyonce. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Chi-Town's own G Herbo is in the building. Yee?
Did your parents think you would be successful as an artist?
Honestly, nah. I was never trying to be an artist or trying to be a rapper growing up. Like, literally, my mom and my aunts, they ain't know what to do with me. I was getting locked up.
Did your pops around?
Yeah, my mom and dad been together. My mom was 16, my dad was 19. They've been together ever since. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in a two-parent household. Even then, like, they ain't know how to control me, because I'm going to go out and make my decisions on my own. Like, the man that I am now is because I made myself that man. Nobody could take credit for anything that I am today.
Most of the lessons...
My mother, my father, nobody. I went out and made those decisions and learned life on my own.
That's a fact. Like, you made a conscious choice to say, nah, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because they can tell you all day, but if you don't listen, it don't mean anything.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, even when I wasn't trying to be around, I was just literally in the streets. That's what I cared about. I loved being in the streets. I loved my brothers. I loved everything that was going on in my life. When I was 14, 15, 16, I accepted it, you know? And there was nothing that my mother or father could tell me, because I knew, like, at any moment, like, the people that I was around were willing to die for me. You know what I'm saying? Baby willing to die for me. I'm ready to die. I'm willing to die for baby. Mm. His brother's willing to die for me. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that I'm around is willing to die for me, you know? And my mother don't understand that. It's just different growing up, and we really became products of our environment. We used to play basketball every single day, literally every day. That's what we did. Play, eat, sleep, wake up, play basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was never trying to be no street dudes. We ain't never say, oh, let's go buy some guns and put them on our waist. You know, we just became products of our environment. Other kids, they saying, oh, let's go buy some guns and put them on our waist. That's right. The difference between us and them. You feel me?
So it was basically for y'all more of a survival thing?
Yeah, a survival thing. Like, literally, you can't knock what's going on in Chicago. Like, literally, you never been a 15-year-old and a 24-year-old is trying to kill you.
Mm.
That's the harsh reality of what's going on in Chicago. And nobody could do anything about it besides us. We the only people that could come and uplift each other as a whole in the community.
How do we cut that down?
Really cutting it down is the small step, bro. Like, really us coming together and talking to the youth. If this not for you, if you never had to choose from one or two little options, like, I'm going to just give y'all a scenario. Say, for instance, it's a 10-year-old kid, 12, and all you have in life is your older brother who's 19, and your mother is hooked on drugs. You don't even know your father. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen your father twice in your whole life. Say, for instance, your brother, he in a gang, he out of school, but he makes sure you straight. You eat every morning, every night, every afternoon. He makes sure you got school closed, this, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? And you a good kid. You got all A's and B's. All you know is your brother take care of you. and your brother are ruthless killing the streets, but you know that's the only person in life that care about you. Mm-hmm. And say, for instance, your brother get murdered right in your face because there's no morals in the streets. Mm-hmm. Kill your brother in your face, and then now what you gonna do? If you jump out in the streets and adapt to your environment, how can they blame you? Mm-hmm. How can somebody really blame you and they not doing anything to benefit the hood? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't know if everybody else understand it, but I'm willing to make that extra step. I'm willing to talk to kids because I could look in their eyes and tell this life is not for you. You don't want to be this. You just doing this because you're a follower. You get what I'm saying?
You like, had an interesting perspective. What about the kid who does want to go to school?
Right.
And does have a plan to get out of Chicago? They might have to carry their gun just to make it for the next 5 years.
Absolutely. And that's, you can't knock that kid because he is adapting to his environment. You know what I'm saying? He might want to be an architect, a doctor, but he may have the wrong last name.
Yeah.
The wrong last name. He may be related to the wrong person and he have to move like that. And if the police catch him with that gun on him, he is that.
Yeah.
You the same as your cousins. You the same as your brothers, but you don't understand. I'm just trying to go to school every day. But I know if these dudes see me and they know that I'm his little brother, they gonna kill me for no reason.
Damn. That's an ill perspective.
That's the harsh reality of being in Chicago, and you have to really understand it. We not animals, we not beasts, we not demons, we just products of our environment.
Mm-hmm. So you have predators, and then you just have people who playing defense.
Right. You have people who playing defense, and all my life grew up playing defense.
How do these people treat you now, seeing you, like, on the freshman XXL cover, seeing you doing your press runs?
Yeah.
Are people happy, like, yes, you made it, supportive?
Yeah, I feel like everybody, I feel like I got a crazy support system right now. You know, I feel like everybody rooting for me, and that's only because they see, like, I just grew this mindset or just gained this mindset recently. Like, people know that boy had all the opportunity. He had a song with Nicki Minaj. He was still on Sandy Knife with a gun on his waist. You feel me? Like, people see that growth. They happy to see that. They, you know what I'm saying? When it's genuine, nobody want to see you fail.
Right.
Nobody want to see you fail when they know you come from failure. You've been failing all your life.
Right.
So when you win and now, everybody should cheer you on. You know, like, literally, it's no bad blood in my body, not a hating bone in my body. I just saw Chance the Rapper and on a billboard in Times Square with, like, a Kenzo H&M collab. It made me happy.
Right.
Me and my camera, it made us happy to see that, like, you know, just to see the possibilities of what can come from working hard and really coming from nothing, because Chance is from Chicago. Mm-hmm. He had the same odds against him as me. Whether we grew up different or not, just being in Chicago, you could be a politician's son, you could be Obama's son, and be at the wrong place at the wrong time, you know what I'm saying? So he had the same odds that I had against me, you feel me? So when I see stuff like that, it make me happy.
What's Chicago's sound? Because it's so diverse. You got Chance, you got Kanye. Yeah. You got Jude, and you got the Chiefs. Like, what is Chicago's actual sound?
You got Dreezy. You got Vic Mensa. You know what I'm saying? You got a bunch of different sounds and styles. I would say the Chicago style, rounded in one word, is just unique. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was riding the whole drill wave for so long. It was cool, but I came out really literally rapping about my life. That was all I knew. You know what I'm saying? Some people considered it drill. Some people didn't. It was just my life. That's what I knew. I was rapping about the reality of me waking up, leaving out the house. You know what I'm saying? That was all I knew. You get what I'm saying? Like, with Chance, he rap about what he knows. Vic Mensa, he raps about what he knows. You know what I'm saying? We never been through the same situations, but he rap about Chicago from his perspective. I rap about Chicago from my perspective, and so on and so forth. Even Dreezy, with her being a girl, she rap about her growing up in Chicago from her perspective. You know what I'm saying? Being a female in Chicago is still different. Girls lose their life in Chicago just for being in a car with the wrong dude.
Mm.
They don't even hit dude.
We appreciate you joining
us. G-Herbo.
G-Herbo.
Yeah, man.
Thank you
know,
coming through.
I ain't gonna lie. I've been looking forward to the Breakfast Club since day one, man. Day zero, you know. So me being here, I'm just humble, you know, like.
That's good. You was 15 when we started, when you think about it.
Yeah.
We old.
This could have happened a while ago, because people did really ask for you since you were a little hurt.
Not even asked for
you. It's a long time. Timing is everything. Right. It's perfect timing.
When I said I seen you perform in Jersey, when I seen you come out to Jersey, I was surprised. Like, I haven't seen Jersey that packed in a long time. I mean,
Love Jersey, bro.
It's crazy.
My first time in Jersey, it was like 200 girls in my hotel lobby, like literally.
How many condoms?
They tried to put us out. If it was 200 females, it might have been.
Probably about 50 condoms.
Good ratio. 50
condoms. There you have it. It's G.R. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor Report. Rumor Report. This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
Well, you know, Beyonce performed at the Country Music Awards. She did Daddy Lessons with the Dixie Chicks. And people were in an uproar that Beyonce was even performing at the Country Music Awards. One post said, and they made all these Facebook pages, what did you think about Beyonce performing? What do you think of the Beyonce and Dixie Chicks performances for people to answer? There were thousands of people commenting. One person said, figures they would pair up. One who has no respect for the American military and another who has no respect for the American law enforcement. A shame they would be allowed to perform at the CMAs at all.
So they was mad at Beyonce because they feel like Beyonce's anti-police?
Law enforcement.
Also, it wasn't because she was black?
And they also feel like she's not country, and they're not. She's not welcome because she's not a country music artist. One person said she does not belong. When have they ever invited any country singer to their BET Awards? Never. Stop it.
So wow. basically, the country fans treated Beyonce the way hip-hop fans treat Iggy Azalea and every other white artist, basically.
Really?
White rap artist. Yes, come on, stop it. Come on, can y'all just be honest for a second? We do the same thing when it's white artists at hip-hop shows. Yes, we do.
She gets nominated for awards. She went platinum and sold lots of records and gets play on the radio
And social
stations.
Media still goes in.
So, yeah.
Just social media still goes in.
All right, well, one person said she is a Texan. She is country from Houston. Let's not judge or cast stones. Our country roots go far back, and a bunch of musicians we look up to have a lot of old cheating stories of going to jail, and the list goes on. We are human. No one is perfect. I'm excited to see what our Texas girl will show to CMT and the world. God bless and cast no stones. Well, here's a little snippet of their performance together.
No, it doesn't actually.
Even Beyonce. Because you know the Dixie Chicks have been covering this song when they perform already anyway because it has a bit of a country feel
to it. What's that song called? Daddy's Lessons, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. From Lemonade.
Listen, Beyonce is great. I'm a Pinkett Smith, Winfrey Knowles Carter, but even she can't make country music sound good. Country music's so trash.
Well,
to
yesterday,
you.
A number of media outlets were accused of removing all the Beyonce performance clips and getting rid of everything off of social media, so on and so forth. But the CMA Awards denied all of that. They put up a statement. They said the performance clip is online, and they did, however, admit to removing a short promotional clip. They said that's because it was not approved, so they removed it prior to the broadcast.
Only two country songs I like. That's You Gotta Know When to Hold 'Em, Know When to Fold
'Em, Gambler,
and Sweet Home Alabama.
Those are like the two classic. And that's because I really. Knows.
That's because I like the movie Sweet Home Alabama. That's not country music. Okay, well,
that's rock. It's a rock song. So
all right,
like
well,
one.
Country's trash then.
It's only trash to
okay,
you, man.
Country's trash. I stand on what I said the first time. Okay,
Lil
like
Wayne
no country music,
was so
then.
Upset about his Nightline interview, he tried to get them to pull it before it aired.
Oh,
we
God.
Told you before that he just kind of blacked out because Lindsay Davis, the interviewer, talked about his daughter and
horrible.
Asked questions
horrible
that
rebuttal.
Were not pre-approved. Well, they're saying he got so agitated that he just blasted the Black Lives Matter movement. He didn't care what he was saying. Then he went to his publicist to get the interview pulled. The publicist was not able to do that, and that's when he fired his publicist.
Lil Wayne should fire himself, okay? Because all that energy that he was upset about should have been directed to that lady if she made comments about his daughter or whatever. It had nothing to do with the Black Lives Matter movement. But I still don't understand how you can call women bitches and hoes in your music for years but then get mad if
somebody ask about it.
Ask about your daughter mm-hmm. being called a bitch and a hoe.
Now, ABC News is saying that nothing was pre-approved with Lil Wayne's camp, and they said when it came to the questions and the topics of the interview, nothing was off limits. All right, Shaquille O'Neal did an interview with Esquire magazine, and people were talking about some of his comments. They asked him about him having respect and admiration for the police, And they said, what about bridging that divide between police and communities? And Shaq responded, one way to bridge the divide is for the media not to portray it as all police ain't bad, just like all athletes ain't bad, just like all guys in your line of business ain't bad. We all have the letter of the law to follow. And if you don't follow that, it shouldn't always be a reflection of who you work for or who you're with. Are there some bad policemen? Of course, guaranteed there are. And hopefully they're tried and brought to justice. But then he says, when he gets stopped by the cops, I'm not worried. It has nothing to do with being Shaq. You know why? I show respect. Yes, sir. No, sir. That's how I was taught. I was raised by a drill sergeant, and that's who I am. Doesn't matter if it's a black guy, white guy, whatever. I'm not going to make it uncomfortable for you because I don't want it uncomfortable for me. There's not going to be any talking back. None of that.
That means nothing. You can still get shot. You can do all those things and still
get shot. Why are you talking? Oh, you guys still got them damn grills in your mouth?
Yes, I do.
I know. He's extra lispy.
Extra lispy.
I don't like y'all lisp shaming me this morning.
Well, take them damn grills out.
You shame everyone for every other reason. We can lisp shame you.
Don't lisp shame me. I don't even know what that means.
Well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Yes.
We would like for Melania Trump to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with her this morning, please.
Who that is?
That's Donald Trump's wife.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey?
Yee-haw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Let me take my bottom grill out to do this, donkey. If I spit all over my computer.
Okay.
Now, Donkey of the Day for Friday, November 4th, goes to Melania Trump. Okay, now Melania Trump gave her first solo speech since the Republican National Convention this summer. You remember that speech, right, where she ripped off, stole, and plagiarized parts of First Lady Michelle Obama's 2008 Democratic National Convention speech. But Melania Trump was back out there, and she was laying out some of the things she plans to do if she becomes First Lady. And she says one of the things she really wants to do is improve a social media culture that has gotten too mean and too tough. She says social media is riddled with insults based on looks and intelligence. Melania Trump, Donald Trump's wife, the woman whose body is a hint of orange because the man she goes to sleep with at night is the color of a tangerine. Donald Trump's wife wants people to stop being mean and rude to other people on social media. It has to be a word stronger than irony to describe this situation. Let's hear what Melania Trump had to say.
Now social media is a centerpiece of our lives. It can be a useful tool for connection and communication. But like anything that is powerful, it can have a bad side. As adults, many of us are able to handle mean words, even lies. Children and teenagers can be fragile. They are hurt when they are made fun of. This makes their life hard and can force them to hide and retreat. It is never okay when a 12-year-old girl or boy is mocked, bullied, or attacked when it's done by someone with no name hiding on the internet. We must find better ways to honor and support the basic goodness of our children, especially in social media. It will be one of the main focuses of my work if I'm privileged enough to become your First Lady.
No.
Could somebody please send Melania Trump the article the Upshot posted in the New York Post titled The 282 People. 282 People. 282 people, places, and things Donald Trump is insulting on Twitter. A complete list. Your husband has insulted 282 people via social media, but you want people to stop being bullied on social media. I guess it's okay to bully everybody but kids. I couldn't read all of Donald Trump's tweets insulting people via social media unless I dedicated the whole 4 hours of the Breakfast Club to it, and we would have to cut all the Drake songs and commercials and just talk straight for 4 hours to get through all 282 of these tweets. But let me just read a few highlights. I really don't even know where to start. Remember when Donald Trump went on a Twitter rant at 3 a.m. against former Miss Universe Alicia Machado, where he called her disgusting and a con and directed his followers to check out a non-existent sex tape with a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted Chris Starwalt, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's an editor at Fox News. He called him one of the dumbest political pundits on TV, called him a dope and a really dumb puppet. He tweeted that Michael Nutter, former mayor of Philadelphia, is a crude dope, says he's doing a terrible job, said he's a lowlife. He tweeted Elizabeth Warren, called her goofy, a fraud.
Hillary Clinton's flunky has a career based on a lie, weak and ineffective, phony Native American heritage, called her a lowlife, called her Pocahontas. He tweeted Arianna Huff and said she's unattractive both inside and out, and he fully understands why her husband left her for a man. He tweeted that while Bette Midler is a completely unattractive woman, I refuse to say that because I always insist on being politically correct. Donald Trump once tweeted, 26,000 unreported sexual assaults in the military, only 238 convictions. What did these geniuses expect when they put men and women together? For the record, Donald, men and women can congregate together without any rapes occurring. But that's not the point. The point is, Melania Trump, if you want to work on bullying and people insulting others on social media, be the change you want to see in the world and encourage your husband to delete all his social media accounts. Please give Melania Trump the biggest hee-haw, please. Okay.
All right.
And put my girl back in.
All right, well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, when we come back, it's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday!
And today's Freaky, Freaky Friday situation, I'm going to call it a situation. We're doing celebrity smashes.
We doing that again? Why are we doing this?
This always causes a lot of issues.
Why are we doing this to people?
Right, look, so 800-585-1051, if you had sex with a celebrity.
Now, hold on. Let's tell the rules, though, okay? This is anonymous, so you don't have to say your name.
You don't have to say
or
your name.
The celebrity's name. As a matter of fact, you cannot say the celebrity's name except to us off the air.
Well, let's play an example of what happened last time.
You been with any all-stars? We don't want to hear about no bench warmers.
Yeah, but his wife be on TV and she might be real.
Hey, all right.
Just stop. Give us a little hint. Give us a little hint.
We don't need no hint on this one.
Let's see.
No stop. Turn it off.
Okay,
enough of that.
Turn it off.
All right.
Turn it off.
So 800-585-1051. Celebrity smashes. You had sex with a celebrity, a basketball player, baseball player, rapper, singer, actor, actress.
You ain't gonna be happy till a nigga get killed.
DJ.
Till a nigga get spilled.
Radio personality.
Till your blood gets spilled.
Whatever it may be. 800-585-1051. Call us now. Celebrity smashes. The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Tupac. Keep your head up. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee. Charlamagne the God, we are the Breakfast Club.
Young Savage, why you trapping so hard?
Now it's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky Friday!
And we're doing celebrity smashes. We want to know what celebrity you knocked off.
Why you got people calling up, pulling all these rappers' cards?
Hello, who's this?
My name is Brittany.
All right, Brittany, now who's the celebrity you smashed? Give us a hint.
How to be a player.
Okay, he's an actor.
Old school OG actor.
Okay, so tell us what happened.
So you were at Caroline's Comedy Club here in New York.
What happened?
No, it was actually, I was down in the Natty. I was at one of his shows. I knew kind of one of the guys who was one of the opening acts for him. Went out to the after party a little bit.
He brought you back to his hotel?
Yep.
How was it?
How
on a scale
old are
of
you,
1 to 10?
Man, it was amazing.
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
32. Eh, you a little young for how to be a player. So it wasn't like a fan of his.
He doesn't look that old, though, in person, though.
Nah, he holding up well.
He still got it. He still got it.
Did you guys exchange numbers, or is that it?
Was there a round two?
Yeah, we still keep in contact.
Was there a round two, three, or four?
Only one.
Okay.
Did he have a BlackBerry at the time?
A BlackBerry?
Shut up, Charlamagne. All right, thank you, Mama.
Thank you.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this Rob from North.
Rob from Newark. So we're doing celebrity smash. Now, what celebrity you smash, bro?
Well, man.
Hey, no names.
No names. So what happened? You tell us the story. What happened?
Lying.
What happened? Where'd you meet her?
Listen, man, you just said no names. I said the name. I can't even say it, man.
We're going to take it out. So
we're going to take the name
tell
out.
Tell us the story. We're not going to put the name in.
Man, I know how y'all do, man. Get out of here.
We'll get sued, you dumb idiot.
Well, we can't play the name.
We taking the name out.
All right, say no more. All right, so facts, right? I'm up in New York, right? Boom, right? Nah, I can't do that, bro.
Yeah, first of all, let's be clear. Most lies start with facts.
Facts, yo, boom. So I'm up in New York. Nah.
Nah.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, my name is P.
Hey, P.
P, what's up? We're doing celebrity smashes. Now, tell us what happened, who the person was.
Well, he's about 6'4". He played basketball. And this was right after the iHeart Music Festival. Back in September.
Okay, what team does he play for?
You want me to put that out there?
Yeah, you can say the team.
He's retired or he play now?
He plays now Miami
Miami Heat.
Okay, so what went down?
What happened? Well, we basically met up after that and went to a hotel and chilled, and things just led, one thing led to another, and we just kind of got free.
You sound like a trance.
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
Now, is this player openly gay, or is he married, or?
Oh, this is a guy.
This is a guy right here.
Oh, okay, that's why you sound trans to me. I'm sorry.
You're stupid. Now, is this player openly gay, or does he have a family?
He does have a family. He's not openly gay.
Oh, so tell me what happened. Was he the bottom, or were you the bottom?
Y'all playing with people's lives on the radio.
I was the bottom.
Okay, was it great?
It was amazing.
All right.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
Is he a starter, or is he a bench player?
Well, you are playing.
I'm giving too much. I can't.
You didn't tell him that.
You gave him all of you.
I can't.
Are you guys staying in touch after that? Would there be another meetup?
Not really consistently. I'm too busy right now. I work, so.
You're too busy?
You're too busy?
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing? Because, you know, we make times for things.
It was amazing. No, it was truly amazing, and he knows that. If we're not going to be together, then there's no need to just be meeting here and there.
Okay.
Boy, y'all is playing with people's life this morning. Bro. Why y'all doing this, man? FMM Maroli. I'm an FMM Maroli.
What is wrong with you, yo? 800-585-1051 is Freaky Friday, and we're doing Celebrity Smashes. That was Role Models J. Cole. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky Friday.
Now, the Freaky Friday thing or situation that we're doing is Celebrity Smash. We want to know who you knocked off, who you had sex with, who you had a relationship with. Do not say any names. Just tell us the situation.
I smashed a stripper in the hotel with my chains on. I'm playing with a kitty with my VVS.
All right, can we get it moving?
Hello, who's this?
Kelly.
It's Celebrity Smash. Now tell us your situation. What celebrity were you with? Just give us some hints.
Okay, he's a football player. He plays for the Cowboys. I don't know if he still does, but he played for the Cowboys.
Okay, Charlamagne, your team. That's your team.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know much about football, so I don't even know what position he played, honestly, because I didn't even know who he was when I first met him, because I don't watch football.
But okay. He was fine.
Yeah, tall, chocolate. I met him I was in L.A. I was at the airport, and my flight was delayed, and I just seen him walking, and I seen people following him, so I'm like, okay, well, he must be somebody. So I go get me some food, and then he's in there getting food, too. So I kind of make myself look like I'm looking at him. And so he comes over, he asks, like, you know, what's my name and everything like that, and he gets me some food, we chill until my flight leaves, and then he actually gets on the same flight.
Going
to Tampa, and so we get to Tampa, we get off, he asked me where I was staying. I didn't tell him because, again, I mean, at this point I still don't know who he is, but I told him I was staying downtown in the downtown area. So me and my girls were out, and I see him again, and I'm like, okay, this is like the third time
it's meant to
so
be.
So I actually go up and talk to him. I offered to buy him a drink. And then we kicked it all night, him and his friends. And they, at this point, I was like, okay, he must be someone because they're all, like, huge guys. I'm like, he plays some type of sport. The next morning, I'm at the breakfast. Like, they had the little lounge downstairs. He's at the breakfast. He's like, you want to come up? I was like, sure, whatever. So I asked him his name, and he was like, such and such. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm still dumb because I don't follow football.
What's his name? We'll bleep it out.
I know who she's talking about. I know.
So was he any good?
But yes, very good. And then we actually met up a few months later because he was in my hometown. We kicked it, went out, actually gave me a little bit of money.
How much he gave you?
Not for sex. I don't know what it, because I mean, I just told him like.
How much, mama?
He gave me like 15, so it wasn't much.
1500,
man, drop one of Clues bombs for my bruh. I like that's what I like
grand.
To hear.
Wow, $15,000.
Wow. Ain't nothing wrong
Thank
with
you,
that.
Mama.
You deserved it, even though you called up here and put his ass on blast on the radio.
She didn't say who it was.
Hello, who's
that's
this?
So obvious.
Hello.
Hey. How you doing?
Hey, we're talking Celebrity Smashes. Let's give me a hint of who you were with and what happened.
Okay, he's an actor.
Okay.
He does sing a little bit, but he's more on the acting side, and he's from New York. So basically,
so
easy. Would you let her talk? Go ahead.
I was in a 4-year relationship. It was a really unhealthy, unsafe relationship, and
we just happened to start DMing each other, and believe it or not, that helped me get over my relationship. So
what, DMing other dudes?
No, DMing a celebrity.
This one guy. Okay, Ruby. So what happened?
You guys have sex?
After DMing, you guys decided to meet up?
We did. We actually met up in the South. I was going out there to, like, just take a break, and he just happened to be working out there.
Okay.
And so, then we met up, like, twice.
And had sex?
The second time, yes.
Okay.
And how was it?
It wasn't bad.
All right.
Guys,
well,
so rude.
That was Freaky Friday.
That was wrong. Somebody going to get shot.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Y'all ain't going to be happy till somebody gets shot.
Everybody's fine.
By the way, all you celebrities out there that's having sex with groupies, just make sure you have groupies. Make sure you have sex with them to No Advance by 21 Savage, okay? That is the greatest song to make love to a groupie, too.
What rumors we get into, ye?
We'll talk about Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill. Seems like, once again, they might be going through some relationship issues.
I don't know,
just from reading their Instagram comments. Maybe not.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. The Rumor Report. Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Election Day is on Tuesday, and Pharrell recently sat down with Variety and talked about why you should vote for Hillary Clinton. Here's what he said.
It's crazy, the men that say some of the things that they say and do some of the things that they do, they forget how much women have to carry, including their behinds when they're in their stomachs. If all the women in this nation decided to vote and support the first female candidate, there'd be nothing to worry about. Because I'm like, look, y'all don't recognize you being, there's a gender bias there, man. Yes, she's a female, but she don't lie no more than any other politician does. It is time to have women have their light in the sunshine with no shade, metaphorically and literally.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that the narrative of her being a woman hasn't, like, dominated this whole campaign cycle. Because I remember when Barack was running for president, him being black was definitely the narrative. Her being a woman is not the narrative at all. And I don't understand why not, because, you know.
She's a woman.
This is a historic moment in our country, regardless how you feel about it.
It would be first for all of us. All right, Nicki Minaj. Yesterday, when we were ending the show, you guys were talking about Nicki Minaj, what's going on, or her and me going through it. All of that is because Nicki Minaj had posted a meme on her Instagram. It said, never help an ungrateful person get on their feet. It's like telling a wolf that you're a sheep, right? And Meek Mill responded to that. He said, that's why I made sure I stand on my own and was M'd up when I met you. And then Meek Mill posted his own meme. He said, some of y'all need to learn how to enjoy your man's company instead of picking fights with him 24/7.
Oh, yeah, they going back and forth.
Be lit and not in misery. I just want to win and ball with my lady, not be drilled. Which, you know, that's still his lady at the end of the day, whatever they're going through. Now, Nicki Minaj then posted, he posted a picture with his dad, Meek Mill did, and he said, don't act like you played a part in nothing I got going on when I'm doing my thing, because most likely I had a bag before I met most of you industry cats. When it was time to crucify me, you couldn't really find nobody speaking on my behalf except my real ones. Everybody remained quiet. Shout out to the ones that stayed down. Thank you for your support. If you're rocking with me, RIP Daddy. I know my dad and family think I'm the ish.
I mean, that definitely wasn't about Nicki, because if you listen to the Taxstone podcast, he talks about how a lot of rappers and people turned their back on him when he was going through a situation.
Well, I think with that last one in particular, now he has, you know, the mixtape out, and everybody really likes it a lot. It's good. Everybody's rocking it and playing it, so... You know, feels good.
It's decent. It's dope. We got some joints on there.
All right. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have fired their bodyguard, Pascal Duvier. That's the one who was Kim Kardashian's bodyguard when she got tied up and held at gunpoint at the hotel in
Paris. Seen him in a video with Kanye yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, they have decided to get rid of him, according to Entertainment Tonight. They said that he, along with a couple of other security members of the team, were recently let go. It's a pretty tough situation overall. They love Pascal, but they couldn't take any more chances. And a source on Pascal's side also confirmed the firing. He's going to be working with Fergie now for her upcoming shows when her album comes out. All right.
My statement would have been, everywhere I go, I keep a chopper with me. Whoa, whoa.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee.
100 shot is with me. Whoa, whoa.
It's the People's Choice. Make sure you want to hear something at DJ Envy. And shout to Diddy. Today is Puff's birthday, so we'll do a bad boy mix.
Oh, man. Drop one of Clues Bomb for Diddy. Y'all ain't tell me today was Diddy's 63rd birthday, man.
Stop it.
I did tell you that, but you have 21 Savage on your mind.
I am. Wow, salute to Diddy, man. Listen, say what you want about Diddy. That man is an African-American icon, an American icon, period, okay?
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Diddy.
He looks great for 63 years old.
I don't think he's 63.
Right? How old is Diddy?
I don't know, but he's not 63. He's in his 40s.
He's
young 40s.
He's in his 40s.
Lower 40s.
Oh, shoot, I just Googled it. He was born in 1943.
Just shut up.
He was. He looks great, man. Money boy, I'm telling you.
Shut up.
You got that money, you look young forever.
Well, let me know your favorite bad boy joint, your favorite puff joint. We'll get on for you this morning. And shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.